Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Friday, fool. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney coming in from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. We got a jam-packed Friday. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Tinky and Tierney here across the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Tiger Woods a little less than 2 hours away. It's been a relative birdie fest. Round two, Harding Park, PGA Championship. LeBron, some ominous quotes, a big injury, and a possible reshuffling of the itinerary, if you will, for the 76ers, and an old school rivalry inflamed in August. What up, Teak? How you doing today, man?
All is fantastic. We are not on CBS Sports Network today because they're showing the Champions League. I know, of course, but I'm just saying it's a good preview for those who love soccer. The Champions League is on this afternoon on CBS Sports Network, which is an awesome new addition to the CBS roster. So if you want to watch European soccer, the Champions League, it's on right now on the network. If you want to listen to us, obviously stick here, radio.com or CBS Sports Radio.
And if you want to watch probably the coolest thing this college football season, you better pray there's a college football season, because when Michigan and Ohio State start revving things up as they are now, we are in for a treat, provided we get to the last game of the season on each team's schedule. Michigan and Ohio State. Wow. So basically, here's the long and short of it. There was a Big Ten conference call for the coaches this past Monday. During the conference call, the way it's reported, Jim Harbaugh just interrupted Coach Day, just stepped all over him, basically verbally pushed him aside, and flat out said, "You're cheating." And then Day said, "Worry about your squad." And then Day reportedly told his team, "We're going to hang 100 on him."
Nice.
Wow, this is juicy. Let's get to it.
Yeah, look, we talked about this yesterday, BT, because of how dominant Ohio State has been in this rivalry, if you can even call it a rivalry at this point. But they've been dominant, and we all know it. And Jim Harbaugh just can't win this game. And I don't think Jim Harbaugh is saying this to motivate his team, or I don't know. Maybe he probably believes it. He wouldn't say this if he didn't believe it. This is all about him looking at what Ohio State has been doing and thinking or knowing, and I don't know if we have evidence to say knowing, but thinking that they're getting an unfair advantage on recruiting kids. And it might be that way, or it could just be the fact that Ohio State has dominated you, Michigan, over the last 15 seasons, including the last five with Jim Harbaugh at the helm.
I think it's so petty. Listen, I love Jim Harbaugh. And Jim Harbaugh, very well, you know, might be 100% right here. If Ryan Day was doing what Jim Harbaugh accused him of doing, then, you know, maybe you report it to the Big Ten. I'm not so sure you do it on the conference call with the other coaches, but if the Buckeyes assistant, his name is Al Washington, if he was on the field with the players, which obviously is a no-no as per the NCAA rules, you can't do it coming up until today where the coaches are allowed to actually jump on the field and start doing what they do. I'm all about, you know, fanning the flames of controversy and ratcheting things up a little bit. But Jim, they hung 58 on you. Pardon me, they hung 56 on you last year. They hung 62 on you the year before. Michigan's beaten Ohio State once in the 2000s. Michigan's beaten Ohio State once in the 2000s. They've beaten Ohio State once in the 2010s. This has been about competitive as the Golden State Warriors when they won 73 and the Knicks. I mean, this rivalry is so one-sided. And I love Jim. I love his quirkiness, but Teak, I think it's a bad look for Harbaugh.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What do we think he's talking about? Obviously, he's talking about the practicing that's going on right now. Cheating because you're on the field, a day before you're supposed to.
Well, no. It would be more than that because this conference call was Monday.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
And you're whatever. Okay, I got you. Just so everybody knows the deal.
A week before
you're
supposed
listen,
to.
A week in a pandemic could mean something.
It could, but does that really matter?
I don't know. Tell me.
I don't think so, to be honest with you, because I don't think that you're pounding and, game planning and doing all these other things with the season still a month away, so you get an extra week even of practice. It's not going to make or break your season. Now, again, to me, that is petty. But the fact that Zeke Elliott, did you see this? With Zeke Elliott put out on Twitter, just I think it just happened. Zeke on Twitter responding to someone who was talking about, this Jim Harbaugh thing, said, snitches get stitches. Snitches get stitches. I mean, is he bringing up old stuff? Jim Harbaugh, potentially, and just, making it present because of what's happening a week ago on field, but it's other things that he's kind of wrapping into this. I don't know. I mean, why is Zeke even responding to this thing?
Because that's a school that he's got pride. I have no problem with Zeke hopping into this. I actually kind of like that.
Unless he's culpable in some way.
It's
all speculation, actually.
Are you somewhat insinuating that he uses the on-field coaching as a means to introduce bigger university improprieties?
Yeah, because what you said is right, BT. It sounds petty to talk about practice a week before the season, before you're supposed to be. Oh, there's a coach out on the field. A coach, not like all of them. A coach out on the field a week before you're supposed to be out there. Who cares about that? I mean, seriously. Even if your arch rival is I put this in quotes, cheating that way, do you really care? The answer is no. So I feel like this is bigger than – it's got to be bigger than this. Why would you bring it up in the middle of a press conference unless you're trying to force some sort of deeper look into Ohio State and the Buckeyes operations?
How about I worry about your team and you worry about your – how about I worry about my team, you worry about yours? Exactly. I mean, Dave reportedly snaps back at Harbaugh. Quote,
beat us once and then maybe you could say anything.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been the better thing. I mean, even – because, listen, if I'm Day, that would increase my ire. But really, and I don't know the tone. I mean, maybe it was just, hey, Jim, hey, listen, how about you worry about my team and you worry about Jim.
Yeah.
How about I worry about my team and you worry about yours, okay? Is that a deal?
Yes.
Like, if it wasn't like that, which I doubt, or was it, snapped at him in an adversarial manner, which, by the way, he'd have every right to do. But the better retort would have been, you know what, Jim? I hear you. I respect you. Why don't you come back when you actually do something on the field?
Exactly.
Like, could you imagine if he dropped that on him?
Yeah.
Jim would have wanted to kill him.
When you beat us, then I'll listen to you. Otherwise, you're speaking. Your words are landing on deaf ears. Now the question is, they may be landing on deaf Ryan Day ears, but are they landing on deaf Big Ten ears or NCAA ears? We'll see. I guarantee you, somebody looks into this. There's a 100%. Absolute chance that someone's looking into this, even though they'll likely come back with, yeah, Jim, all right, it's nothing.
Well, it's pretty much the responsibility of the conference, even if it's, a souped-up claim, that seems completely preposterous. That's the job of the conference. They govern the conference.
That's
and
right.
You absolutely have to investigate claims, right?
Yeah, you definitely do, because, again, this is a minor thing, relatively speaking. You have a coach, and again, let's put it in context what it is. It's not like Ryan Day and the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, and all the other position coaches are out there, working with the players. This is an accusation of a coach being out on the field while players are also out on the field, which is a no-no. It's benign. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean anything. I mean, really, it doesn't mean that much. It might have been a mistake, or it could have just been, I don't know.
It wasn't a stop. It wasn't a mistake.
The strength and conditioning coach. I'm just saying.
No, it was Washington. He's not a strength and conditioning. He actually named him. Or the name was asserted by somebody else.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
wasn't a strength. It was Tim Washington. Definitely his last name is Washington.
Who is
he's
he,
a coach.
Though? But who is he, though? I mean, you know what I mean?
But he's a coach, so it doesn't really matter.
I know that. But I'm saying it's not the whole coaching staff. I get what the accusation is. But one coach on a field with, 90 guys, probably many more than that in college, especially at a big college like Ohio State. What is he doing? Making sure guys don't get hurt. I don't know. I just can't take it as seriously as it's being positioned you know, not from Jim Harbaugh's standpoint, but from a national, are they breaking rules standpoint.
I would prefer my team that's been getting thumped to take a little bit of a different roadmap to revenge or to, adding a little gas on the fire. But, you know, Mike is writing this on our Slack channel. He's like, do we credit Harbaugh for not backing down? No, I don't credit Harbaugh for not backing down at all, because at the bare minimum, I know there's no back down in Jim Harbaugh. I told you the story with Jim Kelly back in the day. Do you remember when I told you that story?
Al Washington, by the way, linebacker's coach.
Yeah, Al Washington.
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Do you remember the Jim Kelly? So,
yeah, of course.
Okay, you know that. But for those, I'll set it fast. So, and yeah, I mean, it's kind of urban legend, but I've heard this from people basically who were there. So Jim Kelly was in the broadcast booth. And, you know, they meet a couple of days before the game. And I guess Jim Kelly, for the production meetings, as Tiki's done, as I've done many times doing games. And Jim allegedly was not disparaging. I think Harbaugh had an injury. Maybe he hurt his thumb or something as it goes. And Kelly was a little critical. And basically Harbaugh, you know, walked into the meeting and punched him in the face. No, like punched him in the face. Like Jim Harbaugh absolutely is backing down from nobody. So, no, I don't hand out platitudes for that. You're the coach of Michigan. You better stand up to Ohio State. What I think would be probably the more prudent path, at least if it's my team that's been getting thumped lately, lay in the weeds and then attack like an anaconda, unsuspectingly.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like this smoke, calling him out on a coach's conference call with other coaches. That's a little weak.
Well, unless he's trying to really, as you just intimated, BT, he's trying to create an investigation that could uncover stuff from years ago. Now, I doubt that's going to actually happen. Zeke makes it more interesting because he fires back at Jim Harbaugh. Like he's threatening him in a sense. Like he's a gangster. I'm a gangster. We got a gangster mentality over here at Ohio State. Right?
Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah, right.
That's a good song back in the day. Michelle Pfeiffer in the video, too.
Guaranteed that pumped through the locker room more than a million times. But still.
Was that Coolio?
Coolio.
It was Coolio, right?
It was great.
How's it going?
It was a good movie, too.
It was.
So, I mean, could it be a bigger picture? Possibly. But is this something to look at as gamemanship for right now? Yeah, until a bigger investigation, that's all it is. That's all you can take it as.
Well, I'm curious because I'm not so sure that everybody's going to agree with what we've positioned so far. And listen, even if you're not intimately involved in the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, it could be USC-Stanford, it could be Army-Navy, although they don't cheat at anything. It could be any rivalry. It could be Duke-Carolina basketball. It could be anything. Do you have like newfound respect for Harbaugh almost taking on the role of antagonist? Or are you a little bit turned off by a guy who's been getting thumped repeatedly in a program that hasn't won, that's won once in each of the last two decades? Do you lose a little respect? 855-212-4227. Very curious how you would answer that. 1-855-212-4CBS. We'll get some calls on that. Also want to let you know here on Tiki and Tierney, coming up on Wednesday, we've done it every summer leading into the NFL season. We're back at it for our 8th annual Tiki and Tierney Training Camp Two-A-Days. It launches on Wednesday. I know we've got the Falcons locked in to start. Dan Quinn's going to stop by and join us, head coach of the Dirty Birds. And he's got a little something to prove this year.
Yeah,
Falcons
got to
start winning some games.
Yeah, they got to start winning some games, and he's got to start showing some results for being a defensive mind and not having a lot of defensive success over the last few years. Now, again, that's not all his fault. They have had a ton of injuries, the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't want to say it's a prove-it year for him. Like, you either do it or you don't, and you're fired. Just under 500 they were last year at 7-9. They made some adjustments in their staff. Raheem Morris, who was on the offensive side, is now the defensive coordinator, where he fits more. Dirk Cutter, obviously remember him from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the offensive coordinator. They need to have a season. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat, but there's getting some
I think it's warm. No, I'll say it.
Yeah,
I think it's warm.
There's some side eyes looking at him.
Yeah. I think it's been warm. I feel like the last 2 years we've kind of at least gotten into the early part of the conversation. Is this it for Dan Quinn? He's had some injuries for sure, but eventually, you got to justify the contract. So that Harbaugh stuff is, let's just hope that these guys get to shake hands at midfield.
Or not.
Or not. No, you have to. You still have to do that. Yeah, but with Jim, Jim is an aggressive handshaker. Just ask Jim Schwartz when he pounded his hand into submission after the Niners beat the Lions at Ford Field. I guess that was 2011 that would have been.
The only problem, though, BC, they're not going to be shaking hands this year.
Oh, that's true.
They're going to be, I don't know, fist bumping?
You can even give an across the field, like an acknowledge, like almost like a salute. Yeah, like, salute. Nice job. Wow, that's true. That sucks. Don't ruin the story here, man. Come on, what are you doing?
I'm just keeping it real. Right now, we're not gonna have it right now.
855-212-4227. Do you like what Harbaugh did? Are you turned off by that? And by the way, as Harbaugh and Day do a little battle inside the Big Ten, Dabo's got a unique idea down in the ACC. Little college football out of the chute. We'll get the calls. Inbounds, out of bounds this hour as well. LeBron, a very ominous quote about some off-the-court stuff with the Lakers. Maybe that explains why they haven't looked too sharp. Tiki and Tierney on this Friday, CBS Sports Radio.
Little brass monkey, that funky monkey, little brass monkey.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. That's 1-855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn a whole lot more. All right, no TV today. Tiki and Tierney just doing our thing on the radio, radio.com, all of our affiliates around the country, CBS Sports Radio. This weekend coming up on CBS TV. And it's already deep into round two. Tiger's about an hour and a half away from teeing it up. Best golfers in the world, they head west, and they get ready for the season's first major. Brooks Koepka trying to make it three straight Wanamakers. Maybe somebody else steps up, and there's a lot of guys in position now. The PGA Championship is live, starting Saturday at 4 Eastern and 1 Pacific on CBS. So, Teak, as we transition from the Harbaugh Day stuff, let's get into Dabo a little bit here. Dabo tapped into something that has been on the table for a long time about, you know, opening up the coffers and paying the kids a little bit, because when you play in front of 100,000 people and they're buying jerseys, they're not buying jerseys of the science professor. They're buying jerseys for the team that's going 11-1 and winning championships.
That's right. Two of them.
That's right. And Dabo, but had a little slant on this, and it's one that I love. Go ahead. Listen to Dabo.
There are some great things, and I think you talked about some of the revenue stuff. I've always been for these guys getting some type of lump sum. I've just always wanted to tie it to graduation. And, always good, you know, when you have good conversation. And but as far as my guys, man, they always have had a voice.
Okay. How does that first strike you, Teak? What do you think?
I mean, there's some merit to that. But the reality is, and I'd have to go back and look at this. I don't know off the top of my head. Some of his best players just haven't graduated. You know, and it's not because they're dumb and stupid and don't want to be students. It's because the economic, you know, potential is so much higher when you leave earlier. It's one thing, you know, in basketball. I got to get in the NBA by the time I'm 19. It gives me a chance to have, like, what, three contracts maybe.
Yep.
In the NFL, if you don't get there to your 23, you know what I mean? You stay for four years, or even if you redshirt and you stay for 5 years, just because, hey, I want to stay in 5 years and graduate, right? You end up being 23 years old when you get to the league. And by the time you're a free agent, especially if you're a first rounder, like a lot of Clemson's studs are, you're 28 years old and you get one other contract opportunity. So it doesn't make sense to stay. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, some guys won't and stay and according to Dabo's, you know, philosophy here, they'll get some good money and then can go make money in the National Football League. But these guys want to leave early, man, and I don't blame them for leaving early. I give you the perfect example. A friend of mine, teammate of mine, Anthony Poindexter, who was one of the best safeties that, I mean, we had ever seen in college football, was, first team All-American as a sophomore, decided to, and he had redshirted, so he could have left, but he decided to stay for his junior season. Third game of the season, he rips his ACL, like basically everything in his knee he tore, and his pro career never went anywhere. But if he had left, he'd probably made a ton of money, been a high first round draft pick, and who knows what his NFL career could have been. So those risks just aren't worth it. It's honestly why you're seeing these kids opt out now because of the coronavirus, because the risk of not of losing your draft position is too high if you decide to stay and play or stay another year.
Mm-hmm. No, Teek, it's true. I mean, it's the reality of a contact sport.
Yep.
And it's also the reality of how the pro games at all levels have skewed younger. You know, even
that's
baseball.
Right.
Even baseball's not immune to this. You know, back in the day, you'd have like, a small army of aging designated hitters who couldn't play the outfield anymore. You know, all right. But even that's been replaced by lower level contracts and guys who are just younger. Listen, I think what Dabo said is something that I've been saying, at least a variation of it, for a long time. I'm all for paying the kids, right? But the one thing that I'm very reluctant about is to basically just, you know, whether it's on a yearly basis or you get paid every month, you know, when you're 19, 20, 21, you're just not making the right decisions. You're just not. So you take the money, you burn it on a car, you burn it on jewelry, you burn it on something for the apartment, video games, whatever, but things that I would have spent money on when I was a kid in college. What I've proposed long, long time is that the incentive would be tied into graduation, and I would have the lump, which, by the way, would accrue interest. I would have the lump payment ready for these players by the time they hit the age of 25 or even 23. And at that point, you can use it for, you know, your first condo purchase, which then eventually turns into maybe your first home purchase. It could be for an engagement ring. Mm. It could be to start a business.
Yeah.
It could be for investing.
I just see this so differently.
Well, go ahead. Why? But that's really the plan in a nutshell. I just think that's pretty foolproof.
Well,
you're more mature.
True. Now, but I think the scenario that Dabo Swinney is thinking about and what you are talking to, BT, is there is going to be a stipend paid to players that's independent of their performance. What I'm referring to is name, image, and likeness, conversations that are going on in NCAA, likely be determined somewhere before next college season, next spring in 2021, after, you know, the NCAA goes before Congress and gets them to get uniform laws. So it's different in California than it is in Virginia or in Florida, that it's all uniform across the country. So it becomes a national law. That's what the NCAA is waiting on right now. But name, image, and likeness to me is about brand, right? It's about how good have I become? Am I Trevor Lawrence or am I the backup to Trevor Lawrence? The backup to Trevor Lawrence in Dabo Swinney scenario, it makes sense. Put some money in an account, you're probably not going to make it to the pros anyways. When you graduate, you can take some of that money, whether it's $10,000 or $50,000 that you accrue over 5 years. Great, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are a star, if you are Trevor Lawrence and you're raking in money because your brand is so valuable and other businesses want to tie their brand to your brand while you're in college, you don't want to wait for that, you know, because you're earning it right now. And also, you're not going to stay to graduate because you're going to go to the NFL where you're going to make millions. Mm. So it's just, I hear what he's saying. It's a pertinent talking point and it's a salient one, but it's irrelevant to what's going on in the college world right now. Dabo's just disconnected from what I think college athletes are looking for from name, image, and likeness.
So it's an antiquated position.
It absolutely is. If you were talking the old school, oh, you got to pay athletes. I remember this back in my day.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't athletes getting paid? This is in the 90s. Oh, we should pay athletes. Oh, it's got to come out of an athletic department budget. There's no way you could do that. Now, if you're going to put it away and, you know, let it earn interest and give it to them when they graduate, maybe you could have come up with a mechanism. But we're talking about the hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even millions, for some of these superstars, like Zion Williamson, who had 1 million-plus followers when he was 15 years old. That guy has great value on his brand, his individual brand. And leaving it till he graduates doesn't make any sense because he's not graduating. He never was going to graduate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's two conversations. Dabo's talking about the conversation that we were having 15 years ago, right? Or 20 years ago. I think what most people are talking about when they talk about paying athletes is what's happening in real time and about to be voted on in 2021.
Well, that's why I don't think Dabo's position's perfect. That's why I believe with a few adjustments it could be. First of all, I'm all for cashing in on your you know your own likeness and branding.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to pay you, and by the way, the way it's positioned, like there's only so much money to go around. You're not going to have three players on the Toledo football team
that's
getting
right.
car dealership. I mean, you're
that,
just not.
That's right. Not.
You know, you're going to have
maybe
the one
you
or,
get two.
Yeah, I was going to say the one or two stars and maybe a local Subway shop. You get a few $500 here. That's fine. I'm all for that. And I'm also amenable to not tying it into graduation for the reasons that you said, because the players who are primarily responsible for the spike in revenue, the stars, generally bolt before they graduate. So listen, that's fine. My number is I come up with a number, whether it's 23, 25, whatever it is. I just wanted to have some designation where the maturation curve is more in sync without avoiding the other stuff, by the way.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you're talking about guys not making the right financial decisions.
Yeah.
Because they're not ready to.
Exactly. It's not a knock. They're just they're young.
Dude, it doesn't matter if you're an athlete or you're going to grow up and be a financial advisor. You're not making the right decisions when you're 19, 20 years old.
It's just, correct.
It's just fact.
Correct.
It's fact.
Correct.
That's why they give low interest credit cards to 19-year-olds on college campuses.
Oh God! You know what I used to do all the like an idiot. You remember when you used to go? I don't know if they do this anymore. Maybe they do. When you go, and I wouldn't do it now anyway. But you'd go to the stadiums and they'd have that the people the young people outside. Hey, sign up for a credit card. Get a shirt for the Jets.
Yes.
I'd have all these credit cards. I even had like an Islanders credit card because I went to a game. Back then. Thankfully, I was smart enough not to use it. I never had any credit card issues, and obviously don't now. But I was somehow miraculously able to avoid that very easy pitfall because I just didn't think in an exorbitant manner. I was always pretty happy. You know what? I had my car in college, right? Just give me a nice off-campus apartment. I got my baseball equipment. I've got my Sega. I've got what I need, but boy, I could have very easily been a disaster with that stuff.
Yeah.
Phones. But by the way, when we were going in the 90s, I didn't have a phone.
No. Yeah. So you didn't, you were spending it on like going out and having fun or going on a date or buying gifts or whatever it was. It was food.
Yeah.
It wasn't on like the things that these kids get in trouble with now. Like,
no.
I need a new iPhone. Oh, that's only $1,000.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I know. I need new gigabytes. I need more. Okay. There's another 300. No, all the bartenders. You get the free shots.
Yep.
You have a girlfriend, low expectations. We're going to the movie in the Olive Garden. We're good.
Exactly. The Olive Garden was the...
I still like... You know what? Their
Olive
salad...
Olive Garden was great.
Their salad is phenomenal.
The salad and the bread. Oh, my God.
And the bread's money, too. And you dip the bread in the
salad dressing.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Now, I'm not here to knock anything, but, as somebody who's half Italian, I can't sit here and say that, their chicken parmesan is top shelf.
No, that's not what you went for.
That's not what we went for, that's for sure. Hey, this is a treat. What do we got? Bob Huesler doing updates today? Is this true?
It is.
Brandon?
Bobby. What's up, Bob?
I'm enjoying the Olive Garden talk, man.
But am I right or am I wrong?
Good salad. Good salad.
Good salad. We'll leave it at that. How you been, Bob? Haven't seen you in a long time. Are you worried? He's a diehard. He's missed a Met. Are you worried about Alonzo? Where are you on the Mets right now?
I am not worried about Alonzo because he's a hard worker. He's going to work his way out of it. The guy who's most disappointing is the guy who may be rendered irrelevant here, and that would be Edwin Diaz. But there's some other guys in that bullpen who can carry the load.
I agree.
Lugo. Give me Lugo. All right, forget the Mets, Bob. You're a Michigan fan.
Like God, he just cut him off like that. He just pushed your Mets aside.
Yeah, forget the Mets. They're sitting in the basement of the East, right? The Marlins are going to win the division. We talked about this locally on WFAM. The Michigan Wolverines. I know you're a huge Michigan fan. Jim Harbaugh, is this petty? Is it good? How do you view this, man? He can't beat Ohio State, but he's throwing, bombs at him right now.
That was unbelievable, Tiki. And I'll give you a real quick story, and I won't get into the specifics, but I used to cover Yale football, and he was the coach at San Diego at the time, and Yale had a series going with San Diego. And the coach at Yale did something in the previous year's game to tick off Harbaugh. And I'm at a press, one of those press luncheons where it was a conference call.
Yep.
They bring in Harbaugh. This is years ago. And Harbaugh, in front of the New Haven media at this press luncheon, calls out the head coach of Yale sitting right next to the phone. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I can't believe what I'm hearing here. So when he did that the other day and called out Day, I'm like, wow, deja vu all over again.
Bob, was it an egregious infraction on the part of Yale or something small like this?
It was, if again, memory serves me right, yeah. It was small. It was perceived slight. Hey, look, I love Jim Harbaugh for what he is, which is he's real.
Yep. You know? I love him too.
He's real, and I think eventually they're going to win. He's not going anywhere. But stuff like that the other day just doesn't surprise me, Tiki.
Well, good to hear your voice. Let's get the update from Bob. We'll come back a little inbounds, out of bounds here on Tiki and Tierney after that. Tiger Woods getting ready to tee it up inside of an hour or so. And Bob's update, Bullet Bob, Mr. Met, Bobby Husel in the house. It's out of bounds coming up in a moment here on Tiki and Tierney. Hopefully everybody's having a great Friday. It's time to hook us up with Ask the Pros. Just send us a question here. At CBS Sports Radio, using the hashtag AskThePros, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So make sure you stick around and listen later on. Teague and I will answer the best ones. So the more compelling it is, could be about anything, myriad topics to choose from today. Lots going on, and we will certainly address it. And we'll give you a little props on the air before we get out of here right before 6 Eastern. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices every single day. Want to try to squeeze them all in. So, a little inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go, D-Cell. Hit it up, baby.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
First one makes you think out of the chute. It's a good one. Cardinals defensive star Chandler Jones has an incredible 49 sacks. 49 the last 3 years. He had 17 and 27, number one in the NFL. 19 more last season, and a 72.5 sacks since 2015 is the most in the NFL, and that's 9.5 more than the next best player in terms of, Aaron Donald's the best defensive player, but in terms of sack artists, he's got almost 10 more than Donald. Mm-hmm. Now, the two-time All-Pro has his sights set on Michael Strahan's record of 22.5 in a single season.
That's always a goal of mine, to be honest with you. And I don't think that's hard to get. And I feel like if there was a year to do it, this could be the year to do it, honestly, for me. That's a personal goal of mine. But we have more help on our team. We have a better team. I mean, you see it on paper, but, it's right there out for you. We have a better team, so with more help from the defense and the offense, that should help that total come up for sure.
Love the ambition. Might not get 16 games to do it. We'll see. But here's the question. In or out, Chandler Jones, the best pass rusher in the NFL, Teak?
God, it's hard to say. I think this varies year over year. I think the numbers can give you the argument that he is. I think he gets overlooked. Because of where he's played and the lack of success that Arizona's had over the last couple of years. But I'm going to say out of bounds of this. I think Shaq Barrett was great last year and will have another great season. Cam Jordan is probably another one that's been so consistently good. I'm going to say out of bounds only because I think there's other guys that do it better than him on a week-in and week-out basis, even though aggregate, you look at him, you can't ignore him.
I'm going to say out of bounds, too. And, we've had Shaq Barrett. I really like him. He's had the one huge year. I'm taking Chandler Jones over Shaq Barrett.
Because he only had 1 year. I hear you.
You know what I mean? The thing to me is, he's not the most talented pass rusher. He's obviously very talented, but this is a byproduct of two things, being really good at what you do and playing every single Sunday. He's had 4 or 5 straight years where he's played every single game. So you look at guys like, pick a Bosa. I would pick the younger one more so than Joey. More so than Nick. But there's other guys who, get dinged up and don't play as much who I just think are better. better disruptors. By the way, Josh Allen, keep an eye on him. He's a young guy, Jacksonville linebacker. So, you know, he's a guy who's very good at his craft here. Bud Dupree is a beast. I'm just throwing other names. There's a Darius Smith we didn't mention. TJ Watt, sick. The kid Hunter from Minnesota. A lot of good ones. Chandler Jones is really good. I do not think he's the best. Out of bounds, I agree.
Are you in or are you out?
Portland now 3-1 in the bubble, thanks to 45 from Damian Lillard in yesterday's win over the Nuggets. Now with the win and five straight losses by the Grizzlies, Portland moves to within a half game of the 8th seed in the Western Conference. After the game said Lillard, all he wanted in the bubble was a chance. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. You guys know me pretty well by now, or y'all know that I'm always optimistic and I always see the best in situations, especially a situation like this. And it was also why I said what I said, you know, months ago, and I said, if we don't have a chance to compete for a playoff spot, I don't want to play. Because I knew that if we did have a chance to play for a playoff spot, it would look something like it looks right now, because we are a more healthy team. You know, we are more rested. You know, I knew that once we got here, you know, we would be one of the teams that could take advantage of it. And so far we have.
Okay, so in or out, the Blazers would win at least twice against the Lakers in the first round.
I'm going to say out of bounds to that, BT. I think the Lakers are going to finally exercise themselves, and LeBron will start playing better. I like Portland, that they don't have an inside game. Not the Lakers do either. But I think the Lakers would take care of business against them. It's interesting that, you know, because they have such a great backcourt. But deficiencies in the front court. I'm going to say out of bounds. I think maybe they win one, but I think the Lakers ultimately get it right.
I'm going to say definitely inbounds here. They'll win twice. I'm not going to be so bold to say they'll win the series, but you know, there'll be a game where LeBron looks old because he's getting old, even though he's still, you know, still really, really good. The miles are what they are. So that would be a disadvantage for the Lakers. There's going to be one stink fest from LeBron. There's going to be one game where Damian Lillard flirts with 50. Because he's Damian Lillard, and that's what Damian Lillard does, and that's a game Portland will win. Listen, if I were to rank, you know, the top 10 players in this series, the Blazers would have more, for sure, than the Lakers, in my opinion. And that might be, but because they're so top-heavy, the Lakers, and they've got two of the absolute best in the game, I think they'd probably win the series. Wouldn't stun me if Portland surprised them and actually won, but oh yeah, they'd win at least two games, yes.
Are you in or are you out?
Right, now, the Yankees started up 8-1, but they've dropped 2 out of 3 to the Phillies. This was in Philly. And after the game yesterday, Yankee skipper Aaron Boone, Yankees lost 5-4, mounted a late rally but came up short. Aaron Boone sounded frustrated with Phillies fans blasting air horns outside the stadium to distract and disrupt Yankee batters.
It sounded like a horn was going off as the pitch, you know, and in the environment we're in, it's almost like a golf environment where that sudden thing can. So I thought there was a timing element to it, maybe, that obviously I didn't necessarily think they would be able to do anything about it. I didn't necessarily know who or where it was coming from, but it is something that I at least wanted to point out.
Okay, pointed out, duly noted. Fans should be prohibited from making distracting noises outside quiet stadiums.
Out of bounds, BT. They can do whatever they want. I mean, it's a public street. Yes, it's not in the stadium. You don't know if they're necessarily watching the game. You know that they are, but I thought this was a little bit petty on Aaron Boone's part. Like, who cares? Make your guys play baseball. Who cares what the distractions are? If the fans were there and they were booing or being loud, would you complain then too? I get it, but you don't need to say anything about this.
Out of bounds. Sorry, out of bounds. Petty on. But if you thought Harbaugh was petty, this is petty.
Yeah.
This is, even though it's my team, petty. Come on, Boone. Now, I do understand if you can hear pin drop, basically, and it's deathly quiet. It's eerie. So mid windup or mid trigger, as I'm getting ready to recognize a pitch, if I hear, you know, there's this, you know, sharp shrieking blowhorn, yeah, I guess it can be a little disruptive, but it still sounds petty. Stop. Just go and hit better this weekend against Tampa Bay. I would wonder, what are the city ordinances? You know, you know, certain things you just can't do at certain times in certain areas. Although that area is pretty much all stadiums and arenas, so it's maybe a little less residential. In Philly, but out of bounds. That's petty on the part of Boone. Come on.
Are you in or are you out?
The NBA showed a bubble system could work, especially for basketball players, as we know. John Rothstein, our buddy and colleague, the incessant maniacal tweeter, John, tweeted that, quote, several power conferences in college basketball have had preliminary discussions about holding games next season in a bubble-type setting. I did see that earlier today. So the caveat would be that student-athletes would have to take their classes online.
Mm.
So a bubble could work for college basketball. In or out?
Inbounds, BT, but, God, that would be so odd. I just think from a student-athlete perspective, having to sit in a hotel room for however long, you know, month probably, and take all of your classes online, yet still try to live a normal college student life. I just don't know if it's fair, but if they want to get it done, I guess I got to say inbounds to this. I think it would work. I just don't know if it'd be right.
I'm going to say inbounds too, but, you know, you talk about a normal existence. You know, non-athletes aren't going to have a normal existence on campus this year.
True.
So I don't really see what the big difference is there.
Those on-campus or likely not on-campus students will be at home.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in their dorms, which is somewhat, or off-campus housing, wherever they decide to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these kids likely are going to be in a hotel and not have the comforts of their own world, you know what I mean? So it's I get it. It's not ideal.
Yeah.
It's not horrible. You are in a hotel. You are being taken care of. But being isolated in a hotel for however long this takes, that's not going to be fun.
By the way,
not going to be fun.
No, it's not. That's the move to make here. You know, get yourself a sweet off campus pad. You never have to leave, and you just have a couple of friends that you party with, and you just hop online, you do your work, and that's it.
You're right. You know, everybody's safe, right? Everybody's coronavirus free. Don't allow them to leave. If you do, and they do something, they got to isolate somewhere in the house for like 2 weeks, whatever. Yeah.
Get away from mom and dad, and you know you can do whatever you want. You know,
I agree, bro.
Which is what college kids want to do. Yeah, the bubble would work. It's not ideal, but we are where we are. I'd be intrigued to hear some more details, but I'm with you. I'm going to say inbounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki, I had such a sick pad my sophomore year. I had a fireplace. I had loft.
Oh, dude.
Oh, dude, it was sick. It was good. Let's just leave it at that. Ben Simmons is hurt again. At what point, maybe, should the Sixers abandon the process? Hour two coming up. Tiki and Tierney on a Friday. CBS Sports Radio on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Sixers stuff next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.